This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. In his interview with NPR today, President Bush defended his decision to send more troops to Iraq, and he issued a stern warning to Iran about meddling in Iraq's affairs. On Iraq, the president said he understands the skepticism toward the planned troop increase, but he believes he has chosen the strategy most likely to succeed. On Iran, Mr. Bush said that if Iran escalates its military action in Iraq, the U.S. will respond firmly. On domestic issues, the president defended his decision not to mention Hurricane Katrina in his State of the Union address, and he made a pitch for the health insurance plan he outlined in his annual address to Congress. NPR's senior correspondent Juan Williams conducted that interview. He talked with President Bush this morning in the Roosevelt Room of the White House. And Juan, let's talk about the timing of this interview. It comes at a moment when the president's troop plan is under attack on Capitol Hill. The Senate's going to consider a non-binding resolution tomorrow that opposes the troop buildup. And it comes at a time when the president's poll numbers also show that most of the country is not behind him on this issue.
Melissa, it's a very difficult moment, and it's not just the Democrats. Remember that even if the earlier resolution sponsored by Senator Joe Biden, the head of the Foreign Relations Committee, was to fail, there's another resolution coming from Senator John Warner, a Republican from Virginia, former Secretary of the Navy, and it also would call for sort of a condemnation of the president's policy of increasing by 21,000 the number of troops in Iraq. So this is a very difficult moment for the president. You mentioned the polls. There are also polls of Iraqis that say they do not favor having more Americans on the ground. And as you know, over the weekend, a tremendous rate of violence. So I started by asking the president what he could tell us about reports of a major fight near the Iraqi city of Najaf yesterday. This was a fight between Iraqi forces and members of a religious group called Soldier of Heaven. The group was reportedly planning attacks on Shiite pilgrims. And Iraq's government says 200 members of the group were killed during the fighting.
Juan, I haven't been briefed by the Pentagon yet. One of the things I've learned is not to react to first reports off the battlefield. I will tell you, though, that this fight is an indication of what is taking place, and that is the Iraqis are beginning to take the lead. Whether it be this fight that you've just reported on, where the Iraqis went in with American help to do in some extremists that were trying to stop the advance of their democracy, or the report that there's militant Shia had been captured or killed. In other words, one of the things that I expect to see is the Iraqis take the lead and show the American people that they're willing to do the hard work necessary to secure their democracy. And our job is to help them. So my first reaction from the on this report from the battlefield is that the Iraqis beginning to show me something.
One of the concerns might be that you have the gunmen were trying to assassinate clerics and pilgrims, Shia pilgrims. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that's an indication of a civil war, a term that you've been reluctant to use.
Well, I think it's an indication that there are murderers who will kill innocent people to stop the advance of a form of government that is the opposite of what they believe. We can debate terms, but what can't be debated is the fact that Iraq is violent. And the violence is caused by Sunni Arabs like al-Qaeda, who've made it clear that they want to create chaos and drive the United States out so they can have safe haven, and then they could launch attacks against America. No question, the attack on the Golden Mosque of Samarra, which is a Shia holy site, caused Shia extremists to retaliate. There's some criminality going on, Juan. When there's no pushback in society, criminals are able to, have their way. And now the question is whether or not it's worth it in our interest, whether it's in the interest of the United States, to help the Iraqi government do what's necessary to deal with these extremists. And I've obviously made the decision. I think it is. I fully understand it's going to be up to the Iraqis to solve their problems. I was hoping to be in a different position. In other words, I'd hope I'd be able to interview with you and say, we're not needed as much anymore. But I fully recognize that unless the violence in Baghdad, the capital city of Iraq, the sectarian violence and the criminality is dealt with, then the political reconciliation necessary to unite the country isn't going to happen. And so I made a tough decision, and that is to reinforce our troops there and put a new commander there in the hopes of breaking this sectarian violence or helping the Iraqis break it.
Now, you've got a vote tomorrow in the Senate to consider a resolution opposing the troop buildup. Vice President Cheney said last week that vote would validate the insurgent strategy. And so, do you agree?
Well, there's a lot of strong opinions about it. My attitude is, my feeling to the Senate echoes what Joe Lieberman said the other day, Senator Joe Lieberman, and that is, it is ironic that the Senate would vote 81 to nothing to send a general into Iraq who believes he needs more troops to do the job, and then send a contradictory message. The legislatures will legislators will do what they feel like they've got to do. You know, we want to work with them as best we can to make it clear what the stakes of failure will be, and also make it clear to them that I think they have a responsibility to make sure our troops have what they need to do the missions.
Well, another question about Vice President Cheney. He said last week that, here I'm quoting, "we've encountered enormous successes and we continue to have enormous successes in Iraq." 2 weeks ago, you said, quote, "there hadn't been enough success in Iraq." So it sounds like there's a conflicting message there.
Oh, I don't think so. I think the Vice President is a person reflecting a half-glass-full mentality, and that is he's been able to look at, as have I, and I hope other Americans have, the fact that the tyrant was removed, 12 million people voted. There's an Iraqi constitution in place that is a model for and unique for the Middle East. I will tell you, 2005 was a great year for freedom, and then the enemy took a good look and said, what do we need to do to stop the advance of freedom? And 2006 was a tough year. And I have said that the progress is not good enough. In other words, people have asked me about whether or not I approve of the situation in Iraq, and my answer is no, we can do better. But it's going to require an Iraqi government that does several things. One is provide security for its people, and therefore it's in our interest to train with them, to embed with them, and to fight alongside them for a period of time until Baghdad is secure. Two, they've got to reconcile. In other words, they've got to make it clear to the 12 million people that made a conscious decision to vote and say we want a unity government to reach out to disparate elements. And they got to make sure that oil revenue, for example, is available to all the people and not just a faction that may happen to be in power. And they got to make sure that those who, you know, were involved with the Saddam government in the past, so long as they weren't killers or terrorists, have a chance, for example, to be reinstated as school teachers. In other words, there's a lot of things politically that can happen, Juan. And, you know, I made a decision and listen, I listened to a lot of folks here in Washington. I listened to the military people. I listened to people who are critical of the policy. I listened to Republicans. I listened to Democrats. And I listened carefully for what strategy would yield, would most likely yield success. And the one I picked is one I believe will. And I understand it's controversial, and I understand people are skeptical, and I understand there's pessimism here. I also want your listeners to know that a lot of people here in Washington also understand that failure in Iraq would be a disaster for the Iraqi people and for the American people.
But there's no distance between you and Vice President Cheney in terms of the strength of his resolve that things are going, as he put it, you know, successfully.
Well, we both agree that something needed to change. In other words, when I made the decision to change the strategy in Iraq with a focus on Baghdad, in other words, reinforcing our troops, he fully understood that needed to happen and supported it.
You know, people are praying for you. People, the American people, want to be with you, Mr. President. But you just spoke about the polls, and they indicate the public, and you know about what's going up on Capitol Hill with the Congress, some in the military. Even many Iraqis, according to the polls, don't like the idea of sending more troops into Iraq. So I wonder if you could give us something to go on, give us something to say, you know, this is a reason to get behind the president right now.
Well, one way to... And one of the things I have found here in Washington amongst those who are skeptical about whether the Iraqis will do what it takes to secure their own freedom is to remind them of what would happen if there's failure. In other words, there would be chaos. If we did not work to secure Baghdad and help the Iraqis to secure Baghdad, the country could evolve into a chaotic situation. And out of that chaos would emerge an emboldened enemy. See, the difference, Juan, between you know, other conflicts in the past and this one is that failure would endanger the homeland. In other words, the enemy isn't going to be just contained in the Middle East if they succeed in driving us out or succeed in wrecking the Iraqi democracy. The enemy would be likely to follow us here. And that's why I tied in my State of the Union speech, why I reminded people that September the 11th, the lessons of September the 11th need to be remembered. Look, September the 11th changed my attitude about a lot of things. It really did. And I recognize that the world we live in is one where America cannot be isolated from the ills in other parts of the world. As a matter of fact, those ills can come home to haunt us. And so, as I said in my speech, we'll do everything we can to protect the American people and continue to stay on the offense. But we've also got to defeat the ideology of hate with an ideology of liberty. Because in the long run, it's going to secure peace for your children and grandchildren.
How long can you sustain the policy, though, with people so vehement in their doubt, the Congress voting as the Congress is voting, the polls showing what they're showing?
Yeah. Well, I'm hopeful that the decision I have made is going to yield enough results so that the Iraqi government is able to take more of the responsibility. Listen, they want the responsibility. You've heard their prime minister say, we're ready to go. And in my judgment, and more importantly, the judgment of the military folks, they're not quite ready to go. And therefore, it is in our interest to help them with an additional 21,000 troops, particularly in Baghdad, to help bring this violence down and to deal and to deal with these radicals, whether they be Sunni radicals or Shia radicals. I'm reluctant to put timetables on the situation because there are people who listen to what I say and others in America say and are willing to adjust their timetables to our timetable. I'm optimistic, I'm realistic, I understand how tough the fight is, but I also understand the stakes. And it's very important for our citizens to understand that a Middle East could evolve in which rival forms of extremists compete with each other, nuclear weapons become developed, safe havens are in place, oil would be used as an economic weapon against the West, and I'm confident that if this were to happen, people would look back at this era and say, what happened to those people in 2006? How come they couldn't see the impending threat?
You know, you mentioned timetables. NPR has a reporter embedded with the Minnesota National Guard in Iraq, and one of the soldiers there asked a question.
My name is Specialist Ryan Schmidt from Forest Lake, Minnesota. My question for you, Mr. President, is what is your plan if your troop surge to Baghdad does not work?
Well, I would say to Ryan, I put it in place on the advice of a lot of smart people, particularly the military people, who thinks it will work. And let us go into this aspect of the Iraqi strategy feeling it will work. But I will also assure Ryan that we're constantly adjusting to conditions on the ground.
Let's talk about Iran for a second.
And let me also say to Ryan, thanks for serving. I mean, one of the amazing things about our country is that we have people who have volunteered to go. And one of the things I look for is whether or not we're able to recruit and retain. And we are. And it's a remarkable country, Juan, when people are saying, I want to serve. And I appreciate that soldier. And I hope this message gets to him, that not only I appreciate him, but a lot of Americans appreciate him.
We'll get it to him, Mr. President. Iran's ambassador to Iraq says Iran is planning to greatly expand its economic and military ties with Iraq. You said you have proof of Iran's role in attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq. I know you want to take care of this diplomatically. I've heard you say that. But if Iran escalates its military action in Iraq, how will the U.S. respond?
If Iran escalates its military action in Iraq to the detriment of our troops and or innocent Iraqi people, we will respond firmly. It makes common sense for the commander-in-chief to say to our troops and the Iraqi people and the Iraqi government that we will help you defend yourself from people that want to sow discord and harm. And so we will do what it takes to protect our troops. One of the things that's very important in discussing Iran is not to mix issues. Our relationship with Iran is based upon a lot of different issues. One is what's happening in Iraq. Another is their ambitions to have a nuclear weapon. And we're dealing with this issue diplomatically. And I think this can be solved diplomatically. And the message that we are working to send to the Iranian regime and the Iranian people is that you will become increasingly isolated if you continue to pursue a nuclear weapon. The message to the Iranian people is that your government is going to cause you deprivation. In other words, you've got a chance to really flourish again as a great tradition. However, if your government continues to insist upon a nuclear weapon, there will be lost opportunity for the Iranian people. They won't be able to realize their full potential. The Iranian people have got to know that this government and the United States bears no hostility to them. We're just deeply concerned about a government that is insisting upon having a nuclear weapon and at the same time rewriting history, the history of the past, regards, for example, the Holocaust. And it troubles a lot of people in this world. I'll continue to work with, friends and allies to send a clear message.
Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, says that if you have an incursion into Iran, he expects that you would come to the Senate for approval.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no intent upon going into Iran. I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens in Washington. People ascribe, motives to me beyond a simple statement. Of course, we'll protect our troops. I don't know how anybody can then say, well, protecting the troops means that we're going to invade Iran, if that's what he's talking about. We will protect our interests in Iraq. That's what the American people expect us to do. That's definitely what our troops want to do. And that's what the families of our troops want us to do. And if we find the Iranians are moving weapons that will end up harming American troops, we'll deal with it.
President Bush talking this morning with NPR's Juan Williams. In a wide-ranging conversation, the president also talked about the health care and climate change plans he outlined in his State of the Union address, and he also defended one of the most controversial aspects of that speech, his failure to mention the people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast who are recovering from Hurricane Katrina. You can hear the rest of our interview elsewhere in this program and at npr.org.